What up, everybody? It is 10 a.m. in the District of Columbia, points north, south, east, and west. I am out west, Ashburn, Virginia, as the Commanders back on the practice field ahead of Monday night's tilt against the Cincinnati Bengals. I was listening to the Junks there at the end of their program, and this is a hell of a game, man. There are real questions. Cincinnati's 0-2. They are, you know, they were a preseason Super Bowl contender, but they are 0-2. You can't ignore that. And sure, they fought tooth and nail against the Chiefs in Arrowhead. They also lost at home to the Patriots. So try to rationalize that. And there's this statistic I can't get away from. So far this season, every underdog of 7 points or more has won outright. And you'll tell me I'm making that up, but just think about last week when the Raiders beat the Ravens. Nobody thought that was going to happen. The Bucs went to Detroit as a 7.5-point dog and beat the Lions. And week one, the Patriots were a 7-point dog, maybe even more than that, to the Bengals and won outright. So I would really hesitate to say that Washington has no chance. Before we get into all that, I want to say good morning to the boys. Landini, how do you do?
I'm good, man.
And I'm not doing bits. I'm not there, so I don't know who's with you.
I'm back, baby.
There he is. Hello, Jeffrey. Glad you're feeling better, pal.
Thanks, man.
Brian has an event this morning. He's got some stuff going on. Shout out to B. Last night, I got to host my show on NBC, All Ears. It was a lot of fun. I'm going to guess my guys combined, Jeff and Professor Landini, watched 0 minutes. Do I have that? If I set it at point at 30 seconds, I'm taking the under. Does that sound right, fellas?
Look, I'm gonna be honest with you here. I watched zero seconds. Okay. I was busy hunting down Taco Bell gelato.
How is that Baja Blast gelato?
It's a little more of a sherbet than a gelato, but it does taste very much of Baja Blast.
Well, and I thought of you yesterday, Landini, when I was at 7-Eleven, shout out to MacArthur Boulevard, and I saw the Tapatio ramen noodles. I didn't buy them, but I did think of you.
It's kind of disappointing, but thank you. Thank you for thinking of me.
Yeah, man, no problem. Jeff, you gonna nail my under here? Lord knows what you were doing.
I was knocked out yesterday.
Okay. Hey, we all need some sleep, some rest here and there. The good news, despite you guys, a whole lot of people watched, and I got a whole lot of feedback, and I really appreciate it, and we had a lot of fun. It's on YouTube or the NBC Washington app if you want to check it out. Also got some fun news coming up. I guess it's about a month away, a little more than a month. Doing these Wizards altcasts again. I think that's going to be a lot of fun. Exact schedule, I don't know if it's out yet, so I'm not going to say what my schedule is, but I'm looking forward to that. Those are always fun. And you really get reminded when working in kind of the pro basketball world of how tall all those guys are and how regular I am. Like when I do the show with like Jason Smith particularly, he's 7 feet tall. And I am almost 6 feet tall. That's a foot difference. In the regular world, I am not short. I'm not tall, but I'm average. In the NBA world, I'm a dwarf. And it's an interesting conundrum to have. Before we get all the way into football, listen, that's all we're going to talk about all day. But there's a guy that deserves at least a quick commentary from me. TJ Oshie is going on the long-term injured reserve for the Caps. I think today's Caps media day, so I'm sure there'll be Caps content all day, right? Oshie is, I mean, for the hockey world, is a legit American hero for what he did for the U.S. men's national team. But for the Caps, they don't ever win a title without Oshie. The beer chug is iconic, putting his shirt over his head. I've gotten to meet him a handful of times, and just so cool, so down to earth, so easygoing. You know, I covered when the Caps kind of got hot late last year and went on that playoff run. I covered that for NBC4, and dude, the pain that guy was in the dressing room after games and how he tried to gut it out late in the season to come back and help that team as they were going on that late season run just to get into the playoffs. the physical pain he was putting up with. Remember the quote he gave Lamphill about, like, he was sleeping on the floor in the bathroom because he couldn't really move, but if he had to use the bathroom, he didn't want to have to get up from his bed. Like, I hope the best for him. I'm not going to speculate if I think he's going to play again or not, because different world, and those dudes push through everything if they can. It sure is obvious to me that the Caps are trying to pull off, like, they've got an inside straight draw here. You know what I mean? Like, it's pretty improbable, but it could be quite good if it works, where I think it was this time last year, Backstrom goes on the long-term IR with the hip thing. Now Oshie's on there with his back. Hips and backs, like those sorts of injuries, those are tough, man. So they've got kind of this aging core that is perhaps aging out. They're trying to rebuild on the fly with all these young players, and they're still trying to get Ovi to the goal record. It's going to be fun to watch. Hockey's, there's no better sport in person. But I will confidently speak on behalf of Bemich here. We wish TJ Oshie the absolute best, and if it's over, hell of a run, man. Hell of a run. Jeff, did you want to add anything for TJ Oshie?
Like you said, hell of a run, and we wish you the best, man.
Cool. All right. Lamphill writes the topics, and I think this is a good, interesting one to start with. We got a packed show coming your way. Ralph Vacchiano, Fox Sports, going to join us at 10:30, 11 a.m. Mike Jones, who? Peter Rosenberg is going to join us this afternoon. You will hear from Dan Quinn, who hasn't talked since Monday. Commanders are using the Monday Night Football NFL PR media rules to their advantage, frankly. Just kind of spacing it all out, and DQ doesn't have to talk, so he didn't yesterday. That's one thing I missed from the Bruce Allen days. I don't know if, frankly, if they were unaware of the rules or didn't care or whatever, but like, they just had practice was open and they talked to the media every time, and now there's a much more awareness surrounding what is obligated per terms with the Pro Football Writers. Anyway, Peter Rosenberg at 1:30. You're going to hear from Dan Quinn probably around 12:30. I also got to sit down and talk to Zach Ertz. You guys are going to hear that. I found Ertz pretty darn impressive, man, both on the field and just as a dude. We're giving away some tickets to the Caps' 50th celebration. Going to be a fun day. But we start here. They're 1-1. This time last year, they were 2-0. I think real astute football fans last year probably realized the 2-0 was flawed. They barely beat Arizona at home. Arizona was projected to be god-awful. I think Arizona started, I think, Josh Dobbs in that game, and they had traded for him like 4 days prior. The win in Denver was a pretty good one. Now, they were down big and had to come back, and a Hail Mary at the end. I mean, that was a drag-out fight, and Denver ended up being awful. But, hey, they were 2-0. This year, they're only 1-1, and they got boat raced week one against Tampa. They were able to grind out a really tough win yesterday, I'm sorry, Sunday, against the Giants. The Giants are bad, okay? There's a real question. Like, if you consider kind of the holy trinity of NFL operations to be GM, head coach, quarterback, I think there's a real possibility that all three of those are gone next year for the New York Giants, just to kind of, like, keep the operation in perspective up there in the Meadowlands. Still, though, in the NFL, winning matters. And for an operation here in Ashburn, Adam Peters, Dan Quinn, Jaden Daniels, and a whole host of others, new people, getting that first win really matters. It really, really matters. Because not to get too far down the line here, but they're not going to be favored again for a while. They're on the road in Cincy, on the road at Arizona, Cleveland at home, Baltimore at home. They're probably not favored again after that Giants game until week 7 against the Panthers. And so let's just say Austin Seibert doesn't go 7-for-7. Instead, he goes 6-for-7. And the Giants end up winning that game. I don't know, and the NFL's funky. You never know. Like, there's a chance they get to 0-6 or 0-5 or something. And you know how devastating that would be for a rebuilding mindset? Like, you never want to get – ask Jeff, who misses most of his bets. You never want to get to a 0-3, 0-4 situation. So getting that win, man, especially the way Dan Quinn is about his business, where it is a mindset, right? Like Dan Quinn is all about mentally, physically, spiritually buying into the concepts of this team and buying into the concepts of constant competition. They needed that damn win. And listen, I'm aware that Graham Gano got hurt and it altered how the Giants had to play that game. Doesn't matter. Like, 6 weeks from now, who knows? Maybe they're fighting for a playoff spot. All it's going to say is a week two win over the Giants. So when you ask me what sort of reasons I have for optimism in Ashburn, especially going up against a Bengals team that desperately needs a dub and has expected, a whole bunch of weapons available to them. My reasons for optimism aren't necessarily for Monday night in Cincinnati, though they exist. I think it's still big picture. And there was a period of time where my top reason for optimism, and perhaps still is, as I think this through, but the top reason for optimism, I think, is Adam Peters. And is frankly just a functional ownership talent evaluation operation. Like, the good teams across the league have an owner that pays the bills. And listen, every owner cares. Every owner wants to be in the loop. But they hire someone to then run the football operation, empower that person to do so, and get updated along the way. And I think that's what Washington has for the first time since Charlie Casserly and Jack Kent Cook were walking around. I was a child in that phase of life. I'm now a 43-year-old man with two children of my own, so it's been a long damn time, probably 30 years. I believe in Josh Harris. I believe in Adam Peters. So, like, my big picture reason for optimism starts there, right? Now, specific to now, like this week, going forward, I think Jaden Daniels at the top of the list. If you are watching this young man and understanding how vital the quarterback position is to winning in the NFL, I think you got to feel pretty optimistic about Jaden and what that does for the team and what that does for the operation. You don't want to overstate it. It's only been two games. Are there reasons for concern with Jaden with the running and some of the hits? Okay, yeah, for sure. But I think by and large, the good has wildly outweighed the bad. And I think with Jaden, I mean, that's the reason for the optimism, at least at the top of the list. Now, beyond that, I really like the way they're running the ball. I have significant concerns about the defense. I recognize that there's a hope that, like, coaching and maybe some adjustments can make some big changes there, but I'm not so sure that'll happen. But, dude, Landini, I don't know if your question was big picture or for this week, but if you're asking me why Commanders fans should be optimistic about this team right now, I think Jaden is at the top of the list.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Jaden's at the top of the list. But other than that, like, is there a whole lot?
For this season, I think the run game, Brian Robinson, I think, is going into his third season, so there's at least another year on his rookie deal. I got one that people will disagree, and I'm fully aware of the false starts in the red zone. I think the false starts in the red zone stuff, I think you've got to treat that as an one-off outlier, and if it continues to happen, then you got to do, like, something significant has to change there. But I'd argue that I think the offensive line has been better than expected. I think Biadasz has been awesome. I think Cosby's a really good player. I think Allegretti's been pretty good. The tackles are questionable. Wiley has had some struggles. Coleman has had some struggles. He's also coming back from the injury. He's also, like, weirdly still a little bit rotating with Cornelius Lucas. Maybe that's just, like, a football-shaped thing. But I think the offensive line is some reason for optimism. I'm not sure about the receiver position. For right now, I like the tight end group. I think Zach Ertz can get open among the best tight ends in the NFL. I don't think he's the yak guy he once was, but he can get open and catch the ball. I think for a long-term optimistic view, or hell, just even like this, looking at the entirety of this season, you'd like to see McCaffrey and Sennett get more involved. Generally, I've been saying this for a while, that I'd expect those kind of young rookie players, look for them like after Halloween. Once they kind of see the speed, size, scope of life in the NFL, get used to it, and then kind of advance from there. McCaffrey, depending on the advanced stats you look at, is separating really well. He's not getting a ton of looks, but he is getting separation. Defensively, I said that I am pleasantly, I don't even know that surprise is the right word, but I think the offensive line has been better than expected. I think particularly a position they've struggled so much at center since Rudy broke his leg 3-4 years ago in Denver. I mean, that has been such a revolving door disaster at center. Having Biadasz, who everybody calls badass, like having badass at center is a complete game changer for them. And they signed him, I want to say, to a 3-year deal. So that's something to be pleased about. Defensively, though, I don't have a lot for you. I don't think you're getting much from the edges. I don't think now it's easy. People will see the price tags with John and Duron and just bang on them. They are getting doubled a whole heck of a lot. Still, they're not producing, so bang on them. That's fine. They're not producing at a level they need to. They're not producing at a level to make this defense a little more functional. I think Wagner's still Wagner and Luvu, I like. In the secondary, it's a humble group, man. You got to hope. The adjustment that was made in the second half last week, where they benched Mike Davis, which is probably where he belongs, not trying to take shots, but he didn't play a snap in the first game and then had to get benched at halftime in the second game, probably tells you what you need to know. Where you had BSJ and Noah I as your outside corners, I think that's the path. But, dude, Cincinnati rolls out Ja'Marr Chase. If T. Higgins comes back, Gesicki's a pretty capable weapon at tight end. And they got this new wideout, Yoshi. Ayashivas, something like that. And then Burrow's wrist all of a sudden looks okay. I think this is a tough matchup coming, and I think it's a very good time for Washington to be 1-1 and not 0-2. But one more time, I'll tell you, nobody had the Raiders winning last week in Baltimore. Crazy things happen in the NFL. You know where crazy things don't happen? You know where things go according to plan and the customer is always right? That is at Orsman Automotive of Virginia. I've bought 4 cars from these guys. I've bought 2 Toyotas, a GMC, and a Chevy. They have been fantastic to me. They've been fantastic to my family. I've had friends reach out. I always tell them to go over there. They go above and beyond to really try to make the experience good for their customer. And buying a car can be kind of weird, kind of shady almost. You just don't get those vibes with the Orsman Automotive of Virginia family. You can buy a car anywhere. You can just walk down the street and buy a car. Buying a car from them is different because they take care of you like you want to be taken care of. They also has the Orsman Lifetime Edge, which features up to $1,500 in extras. 7 dealerships all over Northern Virginia, from Alexandria to Chantilly. Check them out at OrsmanVA.com. And remember, Orsman Automotive of Virginia. Let's ride together.
Oh, won't you please take me home?
B. Mitch Finley, 106.7 The Fan. We are going to make a little bit of time for baseball today as we get towards the end of the season. Got to know who's playing for what. The Nats are out of it, but there's plenty going on out there. Our guy B is going to join us at 12:45. Right now on the BetQL guest line, Ralph Vacchiano joins us from Fox Sports, covers the whole NFC East. Ralph, what's up, man? How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Doing well, man. Doing well. So thank you for making some time for us. Forgive me, I didn't see you if you were there. Did you come to Commanders Giants on Sunday as the first NFC East game of the year?
No, I did not. I haven't seen the Commanders in person yet. I've seen the film of both their games, but haven't gotten down to the stadium.
Gotcha. Well, you missed a real barn burner, let me tell you. But what do you make of Jaden Daniels now? As somebody who's seen a lot of quarterbacks in this league, in this division, what do you think of the impressive rookie?
Well, I think he's been impressive. You know, he's obviously got all the tools. He can move. He can throw. He's got a strong arm. And he looks, you know, what I always look for when I'm looking at a rookie quarterback, first-year quarterback, is their composure. You know, are they panicking when decisions have to be made? Is he running when he probably shouldn't be running? Is he, you know, are his passes shaky, you know, or does it, do they look strong and on target? And he checks all the boxes. You know, I'm sure there are plays in there where his head is spinning a little bit, and I'm sure if I had the plays in front of me, I'd know that he made the wrong throw here or there. But for the most part, there's nothing obvious that jumps out. There doesn't look to be any panic. Everything, he just looks like he's under control, which really to me is the most important part, because he's going to have ups and downs. You know, when you get a guy who just looks like he's not a fit, you know, that's where you start to worry. But, you know, he's a guy who I think as he grasps the offense and he grows, he's showing the signs that he's going to be really good.
He really is. He's been impressive. To not have any turnovers through two games for a rookie quarterback stands out to me. Elsewhere, though, with this Commanders team, the defense has been probably worse than I expected. What were your expectations for a Dan Quinn-led team coming in, and then kind of what the performance has been so far?
Well, yeah, I think Dan Quinn's a terrific defensive mind, right? So you would anticipate that the defense would be strong at some point. You know, I think with the problem with the rest of the team for the Commanders is they don't have the personnel. You know, they didn't bring in stars. They brought in capable guys. You know, I don't want to denigrate any of the guys they brought in. They're good NFL players, but most of them are not top of the line type of NFL players. So I sort of looked at the roster and thought, okay, some of the operations are going to be shaky. The defense, you know, might be a little shakier than, you know, Dan Quinn would like. And hopefully over time, the scheme will, you know, sort of take care of that and the personnel will change. The offensive line figured to have some issues, but there were enough players around where they could stay in games. They could give Jaden Daniels the support that he needed, because that to me is really everything. You know, if Jaden Daniels doesn't grow and become a guy who's a viable starter, there's not a short-term future for this team. So if he does, a lot of the guys they have now are probably not going to be on the roster when they start competing for the playoffs. So, you know, I don't panic too much about what I see with the rest of the team, but, you know, I think it's a heavy lift for them to become a playoff team in his first year, because I think that I do think they have some personnel shortcomings compared to some of the rest of the teams in the division and the conference.
Talking with Ralph Vacchiano here from Fox Sports. You can check him out at Ralph Vacchiano on X, VACCHIANO. Let's zoom out from the Commanders, because I know you're covering the whole NFL. And elsewhere in the NFC East, I mean, it's kind of remarkable. Everybody's one of, I guess the Giants are 0-2. Everybody else is 1-1.
Yeah.
And only Washington's coming off a win. The Cowboys got blown out at home by the Saints. Eagles completely choked away a dub on Monday Night Football against the Falcons. What chair is hottest? Cowboys, Eagles, Giants?
Oh, that's a good question. They're all pretty burning at the moment. Probably the Giants, only because – there are jobs really at stake right now there. You know, they're 0-2. Brian Daboll was probably in trouble heading into the season. Daniel Jones obviously is on shaky ground. If this season goes wrong, you know, he'll be benched at some point because they don't want to pay his injury guarantees. So, you know, you get to 0-3. The reality is, I know there's 14 games left, but they're 0-3 for almost everybody. The season's over. You know, it's a heroic lift to get out of that hole and somehow make the playoffs. So for the Giants, if they don't turn it around right now, all of the questions are going to turn to Brian Daboll's future. When does Drew Lock play for Daniel Jones? And it's going to set the tone for a season that's probably miserable already. The other guys, you know, in Philadelphia and Dallas, I think there's still confidence that they'll turn it around. I think those are good teams in general. So their pressure is just a little bit different. It's why aren't you playing up to expectations? You know, the Cowboys, they could be 1-2 after this weekend. You know, because they're playing the Ravens, which are, you know, they're a desperate team in their own right. So,
right.
You know, there's a feeling that, you know, there's going to be some panic if they fall to 1-2. Same if the Eagles somehow fall to 1-2. But I think there's still a feeling of strength in those cities that, okay, these teams are good. They'll at least get to the playoffs somehow. But, you know, for the Giants, you know, they're 60 minutes from it being over.
Dude, do you actually – so I actually took a look at the Giants staff. There's nobody obvious to promote if you were to make an in-season change there. Like, do you think they would can Daboll in-season? Or do you think it's more about going to Lock and just kind of hitting the reset button and everybody knows it's over?
Yeah, I don't think there's any way they would fire him in-season. It's something that, in general, the Giants don't do. They did do it once in my time covering them with Ben McAdoo. It had sort of a perfect storm that was in part because he had benched Eli Manning, which was a big firestorm in New York, obviously, after his record streak. And also they had a guy, Steve Spagnuolo, as their defensive coordinator. They really liked him. They wanted to give him a few games to sort of show what he could do as a head coach. So, you know, you're right. There's nobody on staff that is an obvious guy to promote. You know, I think they would look outside. I mean, like even the general manager could be in a little bit of trouble, though. I don't think so. But they would look outside, and they're not going to, you know, unless it becomes a circus, unless they just decide, you know, Brian Daboll's gotten so bad that they can't handle it anymore. They need somebody else. My guess would be any move would be after the year's over.
Dude, looking at that schedule, they're at Cleveland, Dallas next week, at Seattle, then Cincy, then Philly. I mean, they're probably not favored in another game until the Commanders go up there in November.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, that Washington game was big for them, and you know, it of all their opponents in the first half of the season, that probably was the one most people would have flagged as the most beatable. And the fact that they didn't is really, really worrisome for this team.
For sure. With Philly, are you surprised? Bryce Huff's giving them nothing. They gave him 50 mil. They're just, I mean, Kirk against Pittsburgh was pushed off his spot all day, knocked around, right? Kirk against Philly seemed really pretty comfortable in the pocket. There was the one sack, but that seemed like a miscommunication on the offensive line. Are you surprised how little rush the Eagles front is getting?
Yeah, I'm actually stunned by that. You know, I watched Bryce Huff a lot with the Jets up here in New York, and you know, I didn't think he was necessarily a three-down player, which is what the Eagles were saying. I thought he had some limitations in his run defense, but you know, worth a try. Give him a shot at it. But the pass rush was his specialty, and you know, I don't have a good sense right now of whether it's him or whether it's the way he's being used. But certainly, I would have expected more out of him than what they've got, and you know, they've got good players up there. You know. Sweat and Carter and Davis, you know, some big guys and who have shown in the past that they can push the pocket and get to the quarterback. I know they're missing Hassan Reddick, and I know that that's a huge deal. And, you know, I know all the reasons why they traded him away. Obviously, we're seeing that now in his holdout with the Jets. But they're missing him. There's no doubt about it. And maybe he had more of an effect on the other guys than I thought, but I really thought they had enough left behind to continually and consistently push the pocket, and they're just not doing it at all. That's going to be a real problem for their defense, because the secondary was the part that concerned everybody. And, you know, if they're not getting any help up front, that secondary really could be exposed before long.
Last one, Ralph, and we'll get out of the NFC East. You buy the Saints? You believe what they're doing?
You know, I believe they're not bad. I don't believe that they're suddenly a Super Bowl contender. And you know, that might be a me problem more than a them problem, because I'm not sure I buy Derek Carr as being, you know, suddenly a guy that can carry a team to a Super Bowl. I'm not sure I buy Alvin Kamara still being the kind of weapon he seemed to be against Dallas last weekend with his, was it four touchdowns? You know, I think they were good, though. They were, you know, 9-8 last year. I think they won four of their last five. Yep. They've got pieces to be a good 9-10 win team. But, you know, beyond that, are you looking at a team that's a threat to win the NFC? Probably not, unless the NFC is a lot more wide open than I think. And, you know, who knows? Tampa Bay won a playoff game last year. I didn't expect that. So stranger things can happen. But I guess my short answer is I think the Saints are good, but probably not as good as we've seen the last 2 weeks.
I agree with you. I wonder if Tampa is legit, though. Hey, Ralph, thank you for the time, man. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure. Anytime.
All right. Ralph Vacchiano, Fox Sports. Give him a follow at Ralph Vacchiano. Really smart dude. He knows what he's talking about when it comes to the pigskin. Another guy that fits that bill, Mike Jones, will join us at 11. Ends have an interesting opportunity on Sunday. One thing that was funny on the show last night on NBC is I got asked something about the Commanders, like if I had Commander swag. I have zero articles of Commander swag. My youngest, I'm not really sure how she got it, but she likes it. My oldest daughter has a Redskins hat. Lanville, do you have any Commander swag? Not like burgundy and gold stuff you've had, but like specific Commander stuff.
No.
Would you purchase some?
Maybe in a couple years if I'm certain they're sticking with the name.
I just think the logo's so bad.
Yeah, it's terrible.
I know Jeff rides for it, but I think that's just so he can get more free swag. Jeff, do you actually like that logo?
No, I don't like the logo. I never had, like, my thing was the name made sense to me. I never said the logo made sense to me because it just looks so basic.
It's just a W.
Yeah.
Some of the stuff looks cool. Like, if I was buying stuff now, I walked through the team store before the game Sunday against the Giants, and there's some cool stuff in there. Like, they have a deal. I think the company's called Homage, but they have some cool T-shirts and stuff, like gear. Like, they have this Jaden Daniels shirt that's from Breaking Tea, I think. I would get that for sure. Like, it's dope. It's like Jaden's face, like, in the cutout of DC. There's cool stuff. I don't know that I'm rocking a actual Commander's gear.
It's like the W. It make it seem like you're a part of like the coaching staff or something. Like I could get if all the assistant coaches were wearing the W and admin were wearing it, but the fans, we need something cool.
You know what I'm going to be fascinated by when they retire Darryl Green's jersey, and that's in less than a month. I mean, it's probably in 3-4 weeks. 20th is the Panthers game where they're going to be retiring Darryl Green's jersey. I'll be fascinated what that jersey looks like, if that makes sense. Like, are you going to retire a Commanders 28? Like, because I mean, I think it'd be cool. The old jerseys that were iconic had no logos. They had nothing written on them. There was nothing offensive about the actual jersey, right? Like, when Jaden Daniels wore the Doug Williams throwback to the preseason game, there's not a single logo on there, and it certainly didn't say the old team name. So I think you should, when you do the jersey retirement, it should be that one for Darryl Green, because that's what he played in and was the star in. And I almost wonder if you can just go back to those jerseys and get away from whatever color scheme, whatever the new color scheme is, all of it. I don't know how I got on that tangent. That wasn't my plan. There's a game tonight. Patriots Jets, you get to watch it on Amazon. I'm actually, you know where I'm going tonight? I'm going to the fights. I think it's at the Anthem. I think it's the group, I think, is called like Knockout Cancer. It's a bunch of guys get together, or maybe people. I don't know if there's women fighting, but I know Haymakers for Hope is the group. My boy Coley Daniels is fighting to honor his father, who passed away to cancer. There's a whole bunch of guys fighting. Coley's fighting some guy named Devin O'Malley. I hope you kick his ass, Coley. I don't know if that's accurate. There's a bunch of dudes fighting here. But these guys have all come together to raise over $500,000. The fights are tonight at the Anthem. I don't know. It should be fun. Jeff, you want some action on this? Oh, there are women fighting. Shout out to Caitlin Bowman and Nadia Ali. Okay, there's a bunch of women fighting. This is going to be wild. Jeff, you taking action on this? You're our fight expert.
Nah, I ain't taking no action on that. I don't want to take somebody and then they end up getting a two-piece and getting knocked down and then everybody like, it was Jeff. I'm good.
Yo, think about this. One of these matchups, Stephen Bauer versus Andrew Isaacs. Bauer is 5'11", 280, 28 years old. Isaacs is 6'3", 265. I mean, I guess the weights kind of match up, but that's two different body types. Who's my boy fighting? Coley is fighting this one dude. So this one guy is Quinn Riley fighting a guy named Connor Mac and Cheese McCarty. So look out for him. All right, Coley is fighting John Beard. Who you got here, Jeff? Coley is 5'9", 175. John Beard is 5'10", 183. Coley much younger. He's 31. John Beard is 39. Who you got?
I'm going to take the 31-year-old.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's who we're here for. We are Team Coley Daniels tonight. No Commanders game Sunday. You get to do whatever you want on a Sunday. Maybe we open these phone lines up because there's a lot of good games. Ideally, in our area, you get to watch Chargers-Steelers because that's a really good game. I think Ravens-Cowboys is a 4 o'clock, right? So, yeah, Ravens-Cowboys is 4 o'clock on Fox. That'll be the game of the week that everybody will see. Good Sunday slate, but maybe, just maybe, Landfill, with no Commanders to watch, people go for a hike or, I don't know, go see the monuments. Go check out the new exhibits at the Smithsonian. Mike Jones joins us next.